The scripture this morning will come from the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5. We'll be reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also, loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
What an honor it is for us to be here on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that all is well. If you notice on the screen, there's a QR code up there with the notes. You can take a picture of that or shine your phone on that, and you know what to do. All month, we have been talking about transformation and the idea of transformation is to carry everything that we have talked about all year and culminate it into this particular month, that we may be able to have the right mindset in going into 2023. And so we want us to dive into something that is very interesting, also very important for us as the people of God, and that is fellowship. When we consider transformation through true fellowship, I couldn't help but to think about our faith and how John capitalized on faith. And we know for a fact that the Bible demonstrates very clearly that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we consider true fellowship, I'm talking about fellowship in the real sense of the word. It began with the Father. It begins with God. God is the originator of true fellowship. You remember on one occasion, Jesus said in John 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, as whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we consider fellowship, it is the grand idea of a joint participation, a mutual interest, a social intercourse. And we'll talk more about that here in a few seconds. However, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit have true fellowship in their oneness in the Godhead. And the more that I thought about this, and I thought about the fellowship that they have with one another, this is exactly what God desires out of his people. He desires for us to work in great harmony with one another. God desires for all of his conscience creation, mankind, human beings, to work together, to be one, if you will. The very thing that the devil is trying to break apart. And there are so many ways that the devil is trying to divide us. However, the Godhead is always one. And it is through their working together in true fellowship that we have opportunity. Now, hear this. We have true opportunity to have a moral society and an upright people who have the hope of eternal life. God desires for us to be an upright people, to be a moral people. And the Lord's church is God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world, demonstrating on how to work together, how to be one, how to have the mind of Christ. And brethren, this is only in his Son, Christ Jesus. No wonder when we stop and we consider God's magnificent plan of salvation, The old preachers used to call it the scheme of redemption, if you will. For Godhead, the Godhead is working together to bring man to God. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, all working together through the Word of God to bring man unto himself. Hence, when we stop and we consider this, John would say, that which we have seen, 1 John 1 verse 3, and have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Look at this. And that fellowship, truly our fellowship, that oneness is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ. Brethren, I won't keep you long, but I do have a point or two that I want to share. Number one, when we stop and we consider transformation and fellowship, God defines his fellowship, not man. When we stop and we consider Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, transformation literally means to change into another form. We often quote Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, especially when we think about verse number 1, being, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, notice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but here it is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants all people to be renewed. Contextually, we understand that God was working with the Jew and Gentile relationship in the Church of Christ, and how the Jews did not want to embrace Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins to be justified. That's another story. However, I want us to consider that he brings the Gentiles to the table, demonstrating to them that if God would cut off the Jews, his chosen people under the Mosaic covenant, he will cut you off as well. God then begs the Gentile world, if you will, through the Apostle Paul, to conform themselves to Jesus Christ. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Have your minds changed. The Greek word there is metamorpho. And this particular idea is the idea of changing from, again, one form to another. But turn to Romans 8. Go back four chapters to Romans 8 and verse 29. Because we understand, as we discussed on last week, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about God's imprint, his impression upon us through the mold, which is the gospel, the word of God. And the material is the minds of men, the hearts of men. For this reason, our hearts must be right, James 1 and verse 25, 21 rather. And we see that when the press, when the imprint is pressed upon good ground, then it begins to make change. But in Romans 8 and verse 29, we see something very interesting. And I put the word there in your notes, symmorphos. And here is the idea, which is to have the same form as another. Now, let's think about that as we read the verse, to have the same form as another. In Romans 8 and verse number 29, notice what your Bible there communicates. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Brethren, if the people of God are going to be in true fellowship with the Father, they have to first be in true fellowship with the Son. Fellowship literally means to have joint participation, as we stated earlier, to share that one has with another, social intercourse. And God has always wanted us to have fellowship. He has always wanted to have fellowship with us. He has always wanted to have fellowship with his conscience creation, if you will. For this reason, God has always brought forth his word, or sent forth his word. And so God desires for all men to come to the knowledge of him. God does not want his people to have fellowship with unrighteousness or with darkness, yea, sin. God wants his people to know who he is. And so for this reason, we understand that fellowship did not originate with mankind. It did not originate with having a meal, even though a meal can be associated with fellowship. Fellowship does not have to include a meal. That's interesting. Because sometimes we confuse fellowship with bellowship. Y'all get that? Y'all get that when you get home. Like, well, we're going to have a little fellowship today. So what are we going to bring to eat? That's the first thing we ask sometimes. Why is that? Fellowship doesn't include bellowship. Y'all smile. It's okay. Because that's what we think sometimes. Isn't it a beautiful thing when the people of God can come together and just be one with one another and one with God through the word of God? And so if you notice Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, here we have true fellowship. Transformation through true fellowship is the idea that God has for his people. You have the first century church. Here, the gospel is going out. Peter is preaching alongside of the other apostles. And you remember in verse number 36, he says, therefore, let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, stop there and think about this. Here is the gospel. It has just been preached. And now these individuals are pricked in their hearts and they obey the gospel. Said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children, to all of them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then they, or those that who gladly received this word, were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. Now look at this. Verse 42. You stop and you consider the fellowship that the Godhead had and has in bringing forth this great message to save mankind from their sins, in order for them to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit's leading in the life of the apostles. Notice all three working together by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Verse 42. Very interesting point right here. Watch what he says. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. There are a couple of different things that we can safely conclude from this idea of fellowship. A joint participation, a mutual interest, if you will. And the idea there is singing and praying and giving, and more specifically, singing and giving. Why? Because both of those, from a biblical perspective, are the fellowship. And we join one with another when we pray. We join one with another when we commune, break bread. And so through singing, praying, giving, and communing with our God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30, we commune with God. We fellowship with God. And brethren, the fellowship has to begin with God. Has to. I cannot fellowship with the people of God if I'm out of fellowship with God himself. Brother Mark, that can't happen. Why? Because there is a oneness that I have to have with God himself. Transformation must come through true fellowship, which means that it is possible for me to come to worship and not be at worship. It's possible, Evelyn, for me to bring my body, but not my heart. And so we get caught up in that which is vain worship or will worship, ignorant worship. But really, what God is looking for is what, brethren? True worship. That's what he's looking for. In other words, he's looking for true fellowship. Point number two, God's fellowship. And I'm not going to exhaust this point here, but I gave you the notes so you can go back and look at it. Go back and study this, brethren. Go back and see, who are we serving? Who is the God of heaven that loves us so much that he came up with this great, magnificent plan, this mystery of God before the foundation of the world, in order for us to have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ? Now, the religious world says to have a relationship with Jesus. The relationship is with the Father through Jesus, more precise. Because even Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father, what? But through me. You know the implication there is? The implication there is that Jesus came to make sure that our relationship with the Father was there. And God is drawing men to him through his Son, John 6, 44 and 45. And so here, the one true God, Jesus spoke of the Father being the one true God. Jesus said this. The one in whom no one has ever seen nor heard, John 5 and verse number 37. But I want us to turn our Bibles to Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, I want us to just peek at this particular passage real quick. Because when we think about the day in which we are privileged to be, now, consider this. True fellowship, which means that there is no barriers. What do you mean, Brother Mike? Meaning that there's nothing blocking. There's nothing escaping. There's nothing shrouding right now. What shrouds us with God is faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We cannot see God, but we believe. But one day we will actually be in the very presence of God, no longer faith, no longer hope. Now we'll be in the presence of love. No wonder Paul would say that by inspiration. Revelation 22, starting at verse number 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see what? His face, and his name shall be on their forehead. Brethren, we'll see the face of God. We'll be in full fellowship. I thought we were in full fellowship now. We are, but we are in prospect because right now we believe, based upon what God's word has said, that we're in full fellowship with God. So we trust him at his word. But one day, brethren, we'll be in full fellowship. We'll see him for who he is, and we'll see Jesus for who he is. Now, that's interesting. God identifies himself. So here's the question. How do I have full fellowship with God now? I have full fellowship with God, John 14 and verse number 15, when I obey his son. Brother Royce, when I obey Jesus, I'm in full fellowship with God. When I obey the word of God, the will of God, the way that God says it, I'm in full fellowship with God. I want to be in full fellowship with God. And so we see the Godhead working. We see them working together. I'm going somewhere with this, brethren. We see them working together at the baptism of Jesus. We see them working together when Jesus is on the cross. Brother Payton, great job. Appreciate you. And I tell you, the church is in good hands. Amen. I told my son last night, I want to put as much as I can in you so when I leave the scene, you can just keep the gospel baton going. Because I'm going to die one day. I'm going to get old one day and can't do this. But I need you, son, to keep it up. Keep going. Keep preaching. Scott, keep preaching. Mark, you got to preach. You got to study. Why? The gospel has to keep going. And here we find God working together at the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember, the Spirit came upon him as a dove. He came up out of the water, all three there. Wow, working together. Now, here comes the plan of God. It's on his way. And now we find the Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And it's amazing that Jesus relies upon the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Brethren, they are one, working together. Paul would use this idea to encourage the brethren at Corinth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 14. Paul would use this same idea to encourage the brethren at Corinth. And brethren, I want to use it right now to encourage you. Why? Because true fellowship, if we don't see it in God first, brethren, we won't see it with each other. I see why people don't want to spend time with each other. If you're not spending proper time, I'm talking about true proper time with God, why would I want to be with the people of God? But when I am spending proper time with God, I can't help but to be with those who have the same mindset. And so in 2 Corinthians 13, in verse number 14, the Bible here demonstrates from Paul the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all three right there. All three right there. All three. Paul appeals to all three. All three. Why is that important? For this reason here, working together. Oh, if we could just work together like they work together. In Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, we never see, brethren, if I could put a spiritual peg right here, if I can drop a line right here, if I can put an anchor right here, we'll keep this little boat right here, Daniel. We'll keep this boat right here. Put this anchor right here. We'll drop this anchor right here. You never, N-E-V-E-R, never see the Godhead struggling for power. You never see them vying for power. In Mark 15 and verse number 10, those religious leaders of the day, why did they hand Jesus over? Because of envy. They wanted what he had. You better watch it when you got envy in your heart, because you'll do anything and everything to bring a person down. No. Humility says, I want to lift folk up. I don't want to bring folk down. Here, you never see them arguing. You never see them having a power struggle with one another in Philippians 2 and verse number 6. Here, the Bible communicates with us who being in the form of God, talking about Jesus Christ, did not call consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. He could have easily argued with God, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to lower myself from the word of God to be Jesus, to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, to be in the flesh. He could have easily said that, but no, what he did, the word of God became flesh. They work together. And yes, we would still be Barabbas. And yes, we would be men and women most pitiful. We would still be in our sins if Jesus Christ would have grasped for the Father's authority. Jesus always submitted. The Holy Spirit always submitted. And brethren, we should always submit. We find them working together for the salvation of man, for the cause of God the Father. And so we have the Word of God humbling himself. We have the Holy Spirit in unison doing the will of the Father. And it's amazing that even Jesus said, in John 12, verse number 48, he that rejected me and received not my word has one to judge him. The words that I've spoken, the same to judge him in the last day. Now watch this. He says, and I have not spoken of my own authority. He could have easily said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, we do that sometimes, even against God. We do that even in our homes. I'm going to do what I want to do. There's nothing you can do to stop it. You let a wife continue to do that. Let a husband keep doing that. You let brethren do what they want to do when they want to do it. Brethren, that should not be the case. As a matter of fact, we should always go to the Word of God for the authority. I better leave that alone. Okay, leave that alone. Okay. Because I can answer. I ain't crazy. Well, depends on who you ask. But brethren, if we do our own will, we are the authority. But Jesus didn't even do his own will. The Holy Spirit, Jesus was saying, John 16, 13, he will not speak of himself, but whatever the Father says, that shall he speak. It's interesting. What are we saying? What does this have to do with true fellowship? We'll be there in a second. And Jesus wants us to be one. Jesus wants us to be one. Point three, our fellowship must transform us. Turn to Malachi 3, last book of the Old Testament. I remember a few years back talking to a good brother in Christ, Jason Nicholas, and he gave me these passages and fell in love with them immediately. There's some passages that you have to grow into, and then there's some passages immediately you just fall in love with them. Malachi 3, 16 and 17. We see a powerful example of fellowship. And this fellowship, brethren, is acknowledged by God himself. Here he says, for those who morally reverence God, spoke to one another. They declare, they conversed with one another. And notice, brethren, and the Lord listened. In the Hebrew, it literally means he was very attentive. He was pricked. There are some things that just gets God's attention. Here, God's attention has been grasped, if you will. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before them for those who fear the Lord. And who meditated, who esteemed, who valued, who regard on his name. Notice what he says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Notice this language here. On the day that I make them my jewels, my peculiar treasure. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9 should come to your mind. He says, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Notice the fellowship that these brethren had. They were talking about the word of God. Brethren, if we're truly going to be transformed, it's going to require us spending some time together. One thing I say often here, I'm so thankful to have a study partner that I live with. Amazing. You have a study partner at home? You should. If you're both Christians, you ought to have one. You ought to be studying together. Shouldn't have to leave home to have someone to study with. If not, I'm not talking about those who are widowed. I'm not talking about those who are single. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those of us who are married. You ought to have a study partner. That's why Christians ought to marry Christians. Amen. So you can study together. So you pray with one another. You cry with one another. You can rejoice with each other. Here, we're just talking about brethren right here under the Mosaic system. And so they feared the Lord. They spoke to one another. And notice what was the center of their fellowship? God. God was the center of their fellowship. The name of God was the center of their fellowship. And so they were able to discern. I'm done. When the fellowship is about God, Proverbs 27 and verse number 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. When the fellowship is about God, then you're able to bounce things off of one another. You're able to hit one another from a spiritual perspective. You're able to help one another. That's one thing I love about good brethren. If I say something that is contrary or somewhat off with the word of God, my fellowship with the next brother or with the brother in Christ, I can see Roy saying, I don't know about that, Brother Mike. You probably want to look at it from this vantage point. Don't mean I'm false. Don't mean I'm out of bounds with God. It just means that my thinking needs to be straightened out a little bit. And that's okay. Because there's only one that always has it right. And that's God. He always gets it right. But us, we're growing in grace. Us, we're seeking the law of the Lord, we're trying to do what is right. Look at James 5, 13 through 18. Put your spiritual seatbelts on. You're going to feel some turbulence. James 5, talking to Corey Hall the other day. And that's one thing I love about talking to people on the phone, seeing people, just throwing verses out there. What do you think about this, bro? What do you think about this concept? When you think about this idea, he brought out something in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And I love what he brought out, because when we stop and we consider transformation through fellowship, how can I change for the better? How can I grow from one thing to another, from a sinner to a saint? Now that I'm in Christ, how do I go from my will to God's will? Well, I got to spend time with those who know God. And God has to be the center of the fellowship. When I go to a basketball game, go to a football game, go to anything, that's the center of the fellowship. Ain't nothing like when I was back in the day rooting for the old sorry Washington Redskins. Yeah. Anyway, I was rooting for them. There's nothing like having other guys who had on their Washington Redskins jersey, had mine on. It's interesting that I was willing to go to the store and spend money on a jersey, get one as a gift. And I'm walking into the stadium, chest pumped out, ready to go root for my team. And you see others in there and they got on the same jersey. Yeah. We're in this, man. We're going to take this home today. That's the center of fellowship. Not spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, God is the center of our fellowship. Spiritually speaking, the Word of God is the center of our fellowship. That's what's going to transform us. That's what's going to change us from one to the other, or from one into the same, Romans 8:29, as the other. Look at this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Put your seatbelt on. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another in order that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not any man. Everybody can't pray, brethren. God here is righteous. You know what that means? That if I'm, who is a man of God, is not righteous, God ain't hearing nothing I got to say until I get that right. That's fair. I always want to go to John 9:31. God here is not a sinner. Yeah, that's true. But brethren, if we're not living right, God ain't hearing us either until we get that right. That's fair. So God is no respecter of persons, even though we may be. But notice what he says here. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces fruit. I'm going to make this point. Confess your trespasses. True fellowship actually positions us to get rid of sin with each other. Amen. Why is it that we've developed a culture that we don't even want to confess our sins? Why have we developed that culture? Well, why is it that you'll find children of God on social media saying, y'all pray for me? Facebook is not the church. Twitter is not the church. Those social media networks are not the church. If God wanted those to be the church, he'd have made them the church. Amen. You know who the church is? The Lord's people. The church of Christ. The body of Christ. The temple of God. The church of God. Those who obey his will. Brethren, if I'm confessing my faults, I'm blameless. God wants me to be exactly that. So he tells us, I need you to be vulnerable, literally to be open to attack or damage. Nobody wants that. The very thing that we heard in our communion focus was a man that made himself vulnerable. For what? For his own sins? No, for ours. Brethren, that's work right there. It's work to be a blameless one. To let your brethren know, I need you to pray for me. Why? Because I'm dealing with this. But no, sometimes we need to find out. We have got to find out the hard way. True fellowship puts yourself in a position to actually come to the light, John 3, 18 and 19, that my deeds may be exposed so I can be blameless, Evelyn. I want to be blameless. I want to be blameless. But if I do that, Brother Mike, people are going to think that I'm sinned, that I've done things wrong, that I'm not perfect. Really? We're not. So why act like it? If anything, I want my deeds to be exposed so I can get the proper help so Jesus can say, well done on the last day. Look at Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Don't have time to deal with this. However, be anxious for nothing. True fellowship helps with anxiety. We live in a time today, people are so anxious, and the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Well, Brother Mike, that's just not easy. I didn't make the command. God did. God said it. But you know what true fellowship does? When we come together and we're singing with one another, praying with one another, having devotionals with one another, talking with one another, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 8, our lives in the gospel, we get to talk about those anxieties. And we get to build up one another in the most holy faith. We get to encourage each other in the word of God. And we get to tell one another, you don't have to be anxious, brother. I'm there for you. Sister, I'm there for you. And so that transformation takes place when we fellowship, when we're together. But Brother Mike, I don't need nobody. Well, if that's the case, God lied when he sent his son. Apparently he knew we needed each other. If man didn't need man, why do we have gangs? Why do we have biker clubs? Why do we have all these different organizations, sororities, fraternities? Why do we have all those things? Because man needs man. We need one another. I have a longtime friend. It's right there in your notes. She sent me a message, and we've been friends since 2015. I was looking at it today, and she sent me this morning. And I love her to death. And if you spent time with her, your life will be the better because she's so spiritual. She sent me this. She said, helping one another learn to interrupt anxiety with thanksgiving. You know, I thought about that. Have you just considered just being thankful? Maybe that might help you with your anxieties. It's interesting that the Bible talks about being thankful all the way through. Maybe we're a bunch of anxious people because we're not as thankful as we need to be. Again, if God did nothing else for us, he's done enough by sending his son. If God did nothing else for us, he did enough by giving us his church. If God did nothing else for us, he did enough by giving us the word of God. Why are we so anxious? Why are we so bothered? Oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. I appreciate her. I love her, and I'm thankful for her because she's always been a consistency. For those who want to know, she's old enough to be my grandmother. You know, we need people like that in our lives. We need spiritual people in our lives that are always shooting us God's word to help us. Because we've got all these messages and billboards and things that are just flying at us. Brethren, we need that. So how can fellowship make us better? I'm going to deal with the last point, but I'm going to give you the others. By being intentional, by being involved, by being instructable. But lastly, by being inseparable. There's a day coming that I don't have to say, and you don't have to say bye to your brethren. We'll spend eternity together. In September, when I was privileged to go to Michigan and do a gospel meeting, I didn't realize that I met friends for life. Brethren, even to the point that I told Evelyn, we got to go up there. You got to meet these people. She feels the same way. And we have this group text, all four of us on it. And we just talk about God's word and things that encourage. And I remember leaving there in September, getting on the plane. And I'm thankful that I had a seat to myself. Because I cried because I had to leave my brethren. I hate leaving my brethren. I hate leaving good brothers. I hate leaving here, going to different places to preach, but I know there's mission that must be accomplished. I hate it. But there's a day, Jaden, that you don't have to ever worry about leaving brethren again. There's a day that we're going to spend eternity with God in true fellowship. Brother Hedrick, not like hell when you're going to be by yourself in darkness. No, God is light and we're going to be right there with him. And we don't have to ever worry about separating again. Sometimes we could seclude ourselves and we put ourselves in corners and we don't want to be around no one. The Godhead is always together. Do you feel that way? Or are you the type of person you're just better off by yourself? But if you're better off by yourself, then how do we influence others? How do we influence each other? How do we transform ourselves and one another? Brethren, one day we don't have to worry about separating. One day I'll get to see Brother Royce in his glorified body and say, man, I'm glad you're there. But sometimes Brother Royce has to go home. I'm like, you leaving yet? Yeah, you've been with me all day. I got to go. And seriously, Brother Royce, I hate when you have to leave. Brethren, true transformation takes place through true fellowship. You get closer to God, you can't help but to want to be closer to his people. And I can tell when people are living in sin because they don't want to be around God's people. Why? Jesus said it right. Their deeds will be exposed. So let's have true fellowship with God. And let's have true fellowship with one another. And let's look for opportunities to be together and watch God work a magnificent thing in your life. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. A great God and Father, hallowed be your name. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your son. We're thankful for the church here. Pray to Father that you bless us according to your will to be obedient, to be transformed, to be right with you. We love you. We're thankful for your word that teaches us how to be renewed in mind. We pray to Father that we'll always strive to be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider it. We want to study with you. We want you to come out of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He will wash away all of your sins. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works. Now you can serve him. Brethren, you see the order. We have too many people trying to serve the living God who is holy, right, good in their sin. It can't happen. It has never happened, and he won't allow you to do it. Be faithful, and God will give you the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God, and you just haven't been fellowshipping with God. You haven't been in joint participation with God. You haven't been in communion with God. You know, that happens to us every now and then. Don't make that the habit. Get out of that. And get into the fellowship with God and with his people. And it just might happen. Your life might get better. Your marriage might get better. Your children might get better. You might learn some things about who you are and who God is just through fellowship. We're thankful here at the 9th and Main congregation because after every single service, it seemed like the lights doesn't go off until an hour after the benediction has been uttered. That's because people want to be around each other. Let's keep that up, but we need more of y'all doing that. Don't rush home unless you got something cooking. And if you do, just let me know and I'll preach an extra 5 minutes as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.